Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Welcome to The Glorious Morning, only on AWR, powered by SID Media. I'm very excited for this conversation. I'm excited for every single conversation, if I am being 100% honest. But more so, we've got Pastor Kay Chambe joining us on the stream. Yes, because we are coming to you live on Facebook as well as on YouTube for this one. Good morning, Muruti. How are you today?
Good morning, Millie.
Finally.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Are you well? Good to have you on board.
Good to be here as well. It's good to be here with you.
We have a very interesting conversation packed. Let me first tell you a story. I've got lots of stories to tell. So, you know, through a circular worldview, although we've got this circular worldview, we just come out of the month of February, which the world calls the month of love. And I know that this might gross some people out because they're like, this is so corny, you know, so predictable, you guys. I mean, fair criticism in my eyes, honestly. But it makes sense to talk about, you know, these love issues during that month because everyone is kind of like in that zone. We literally just come out of February. So some people are still like, I can't believe I spent another Valentine's alone. I can't believe it, you know. And someone might also criticize love to be altogether overrated. They feel like, Whoa, why can I hear myself now? Muruti.
I can still hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I was hearing myself, so I was worried. Okay, but now we're good. So someone might criticize love to be altogether overrated, and they feel like it's a waste of time. You know, it's very fickle. It's not that deep. And shame. People's experiences are different. Like, for example, you can walk away from a relationship that was terrible with this idea that everyone cheats. You know, so other people will also be like, just stop being such a pick me. You know, you need to decenter men. They will hurt you. It's gonna end in tears. It always does. And I can hear, honestly, a genuine, strong, well-meaning lady warning, you know? And so here I am, stuck between a rock and a hard place. God is love, right? And so love must matter. I'm starting to think, God is love, so love must matter. If God is the creator of love, then he must also be the creator of all the different types of love. Why else do so many people not identify as asexual? There are these desires to partner with someone in more than just friendship. It doesn't go away for a lot of people. And even for people who don't get into relationships, it's not that I don't want it at all. It's just that there are so many other complexities which make it hard to maintain. And Muruti, a hug from a friend is nice. Né? A hug from a friend of the same gender is very beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's appreciated. But it's not the same as a hug from the opposite gender. So I don't know if we are asking for too much. You know, are our desires for romantic companionship ungodly? Sometimes it feels like there's shame to these thoughts and feelings, to these desires. And I want you to really unpack everything about love this morning. Maybe let's start from the love versus lust, the clear differences, Muruti.
This is actually a very important subject to discuss. And like you mentioned, because of various experiences of person to person, in relationships and in this journey of love, it is also a subject that is very sensitive. Other even, no matter how young they are, because of their bitter pill they have chewed in this particular space of seeking to love and to be loved, they really are not too sure if it's a path they need to venture in. But I want to think, looking at the scripture, because that's the basis for my understanding and for this discussion. For young people seeking to honor God in their relationship, it is important to approach this from a point of prayer. It is also very important to approach it from a biblical perspective. Actually, when we're reading the book of Ellen G. White, we are counseled that when you are venturing, when you're just contemplating the thought of, okay, I'm contemplating that I would want to get married at some point, your prayer life must change. If you were praying maybe two times, you need to double the efforts, because that's where most of our destinies, success or failures, are defined. But anyway, looking at the differences between what you were asking about biblical, the lust or love, I would notice that the Bible has it clear that love is characterized by selflessness, by sacrifice. That's why the word that is used there from the Greek is agape, which speaks of love that is not self-centered, and love that is that actually can be able to lay down your life for another. This is sacrificial life, love to say, I'll forgo this for the sake of the person that I love. This is actually the definition of real love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7, it actually then defines the attributes that we must find in love. Love must be, it must show patience. It must show kindness. It must show selflessness. It must be able to wait. And I know you know, when the moment that you get into a relationship, there are things that people cannot wait to do. Yet love must show a lot of waiting. And love must show a lot of enduring. You know, somebody does something very little, something that is wrong, just something small. You cannot endure that. You want to let out of your space. That is not true love. True love must be characterized by, you wrong me today, I'm able to forgive you. I'm able to endure that. I'm able to do something, to go an extra mile just because I love. That is true love. And this true love seeks the good of the other person. From the other part that I just touched a brief was the love that is able to wait. Mm-hmm. You tell your boyfriend or your girlfriend, or even, let me speak about the youth, your boyfriend or your girlfriend. It was recently, it was Valentine's Day. There are so many things that the youth were not supposed to do that they did because of the flowers that were brought. And even the flowers that came, it had an intention. The ulterior motive was clear. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to give her flowers and I'm going to take her to this place and I'm going to do this, whether she wanted it or not. You know, she said, I want to do school first. I want to achieve this. The good of that person, you know that you need to wait. But because you don't really love the person, you had to rush the person to do certain things that you were not supposed to do. So if it's true love, you must be able to say, okay, this is a student. For her to be at her best, I should allow her to go through these processes of development. At this particular stage of life, we can be able to do this and this. So it should be able to seek the good of others, even spiritually, to say, if I do this, how does it impact him? How does it impact her spiritually? So that is a definition of love. So the person that you love should be controlled by principle, not by impulse, which leads to impurity and doing things that are not good. So the basic example of love is what we find in God. John 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. So love doesn't take, but love gives. So even to the young men that are out there are women who are out there to get almost everything, to a point that they're almost getting they want to drain your whole blood from your system. The love that we find, yes, the man is supposed to look after the woman, but at least on the other end, the woman must also, if she loves, she must be able to what? To also give, not giving your body, but buying something, doing something for somebody, not necessarily your body. So the love that we see it's not selfish, but it's rather on the giving. There are so many things you can give your time, you can give a gift, you can And this is not one-sided. It's a two-way street. I buy you something today, you buy me something tomorrow. Not that I'm expecting it. But if it is genuine and real love, it must be give and take. I give, you take tomorrow or another time. You also give, I take. That's a two-way street. So true love is high and holy.
I like that.
It's a holy principle.
A beautiful outlining, Muruti, of just the principle of love and how in reality it is supposed to work. And I'm sorry, Shem, I'm going to be rushing you a little bit. You forgive me in advance, ne? Please, please, please.
Okay, all right. So let me rush. It is not awakened by impulse.
Mm.
Some of these relationships, you can see that it's impulsive. Everything that's been done, it's impulsive. Yet, on the other hand, when we look at lust, maybe some of us, we're in relationships and maybe you would actually identify yourself on the other extreme end. It would be all on the other end where you have a strong desire. If it is too strong to a point that if you don't love me, I'll die. It's too strong. You don't need to be in that space. You need to sit down and tell yourself, this is not love. Lust is inward and it leads to sin. And lust is inward sin, not just outward action. So outward action, you want to just gratify something. And it's impatient, it's impulsive. It focuses on the body. How does the curves, how does the look, how does the skin look like? If that's all you want on a person, if the pocket is all you want on a person, it's impulsive. You need to quit because you notice that even you have almost like an adrenaline rush every time you look at the person. Every time, honestly, there's something definitely wrong. That one, I want you to know that it will quickly fade and it will go. It's attraction, not something. You need something deeper and bigger than that for you to be in that relationship. If it's just on the curves, if it's just on the pocket, if it's just he drives a certain car, if it's just he stays in a specific suburb, he comes from a specific family. And if that's all you like about him, he's handsome, he's tall, he's dark and all that. If that's all you like about him, then you need to quit. Because that's just lust. It will lead you to get into a private space and it will only make you do specific things that you won't be happy about at the end of it all. Because love, you can just sit together and be talking about things and not want to be in a private space. That is genuine love. And love is able to wait for the right time where you can actually go into that private space, and it's authorized by the church and it's authorized by the government of the land to say that these are now husband and wife. Now they are allowed to go into that space. It should be controllable, but lust is not controllable. So in summary, love and lust are totally different. While love is selfless, lust is self-centered. I want to just have this woman. I want to have this guy quickly. And now, it's impulsive. It's not patient. It doesn't look at values and characters. No matter, I don't know how bad she is, or I don't know how bad he is. No matter he's violent, I like that he looks handsome. So I'm going to just keep him because he looks handsome. The thoughts have been put aside. And all that is being looked at is the outside. I look good with him. I think, in a nutshell, that's what I can say on that particular question.
Today we came to say, you are ready to reprimand us today, but it's fine. It's fine. You are a man of God. We accept. Muruti, you know, there are people who are worried. Uguti, okay, in the church, they feel that, there are no people in the church. I don't know. Then they find people on the outside the church, who show interest. Let's talk about that. If a person is Christian, but not necessarily of your particular faith or not of your denomination, is it okay for people to go ahead and say, it's fine. Let's do this thing. You are Christian. You believe that Jesus is King. So we good.
Actually, if you are finding non-Christian, non-Adventist guys or girls only in your life, you have a big, big problem. Because I can give you a scenario of fishing. If you are only finding, you get into your into wherever you fish, and you only find fish or catfish, what is called in our Shona language, you call them muramba, the fish that we're not supposed to eat according to the Bible, mm-hmm. which has got no fins and scales, and that's all you fish for. And you say, my pastor, I have a problem. When it's time for fishing, I find only catfish. And I don't find any brims. I don't find anything that we are supposed to take as Adventists. My big question to you is, are you just fishing in the same pond? Or because if you are going to notice that here you are finding only this fish, you need to change the place where you are fishing.
Muruti, because when we read something, what if you are a catfish when I sell?
That's another problem. That's why you mean the reason why you are only finding the catfish, maybe sometimes birds of the same feather
flock
and live as one. Maybe you are a catfish and you are a sheep. You are a wolf in sheep clothing. You are in church, but you are not a Christian.
Yes.
So when you look for things that attract you, definitely you are not attracted by anything that's Christian. That's why you say Christian girls or boys are boring, because all you want actually the things that you are not a church girl, you're not a church boy. Mm. You are not anything close to Christ. So when you are looking for traits, you are looking for traits that, okay, you know how people that smoke look like. You know how guys who drink look like. So when you meet people who are too much into church, you call them LNG whites, and you don't want to associate with them, because all you want are girls that are into clubs. You want boys that are into clubs, boys that are players. Mm. That's why you have a problem. So now, when we go into the Bible, we cannot find love outside the church, unfortunately, because there is no unity in faith. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, be not unequally yoked together. And I want us to know that marriage is not just an emotional decision. It's not a personal decision. It's not your idea. A relationship is not your idea. I want you to be drawn. I want to draw your attention to the book of Genesis, mm-hmm. where Adam was alone. God had made Adam. And Adam did not come up with an idea that I need Eve. The idea was actually from God. God realized, oh, it's not good for men to be alone. That was not men who said, God, it's not good for me to be alone. Mm. But God noticed that it's not good for Adam to be alone. And God decided that Adam needed an Eve. And Eve was made by God for Adam. Okay. So Adam did not go and make something for himself. He did not come up with traits that he wanted in an Eve. He did not even name Eve. So this is what God noticed. So I'm also speaking to people who think when I want to get married, it's my decision. I can marry a man. I can get an animal. It was God who noticed, no, a man needs a woman. A woman needs a man. God's idea. Not man's idea. So we cannot invent the wheel, because God had already made a plan for men. So this particular partnership is spiritual. And this one, okay. It is meant to connect with a belief. So it is meant to connect with our maker. So when we have a woman in our space, and a specific woman from our belief system, this is God saying that it's not good for you to be unequally yoked. And I'll speak also from a secular point, from a relational point of view. I want you to know that it's very difficult to have a life that is shared with somebody who has beliefs that are different from you.
It's difficult.
Yet it's very difficult. You believe in a certain life in terms of your eating habits. They believe in something else different. Mm. They believe they should go and appease their ancestors.
Wena ngumkhwenyani, you are the son-in-law in this particular family. Ngumakoti, you are in the family and you are the daughter-in-law in this family. And they want you to do the rituals. And you are not that kind of a person. That's why the Bible just gives us this.
Because the problem, this marriage is starting already separated. That's why we need to go back to our maker and say, maker, now it's time for me. That's why when Ellen G. White is counseling us on this particular space that you will now want to get married and you're just thinking about the idea, she advises, the Spirit of the Lord was advising us through her that we need to even pray more. To say, Lord, okay, now it's that time. I need you to make me an Eve. I don't know where she is. You made an Eve for me. You made an Adam for me. Now it's time for you to what? To bring it to me. In the context that I'm going to be looking for, I'm not going to be looking outside the church. I'll be looking inside the church. Because we need to know that also the devil has got somebody that he has made for us.
Ring.
Someone who is really dedicated to the devil. Who come and you want to go for prayer. They'll tell you, no, I'm not ready. My manicures, my what? I need to fix my face. I need to do this. You are too fast. Every day you need to compromise for this person.
Yeah.
If it's a man, tell you, no, today is actually a day when me and my friends or me and my family do this. So we are going. So you have days that you miss church. And your spirituality, we don't live for anything. We live to please God. And we need only to live for whom? To live for God, Millicent. Mm. So if a person in the church is having a problem in relationships, I know it's complicated and it's very difficult.
Mm.
But I need us to know that we cannot unite with people who are spiritually different from us. I would also speak to even, I know this radio station is most probably listened by others who are not from our faith. Get married in your church. Get married there. Your marriage will stand a chance. Get date there where you worship. And to the Adventist folks, our church is so big. You can't say if you can't find somebody in Alberton Church and you say now you are going out of the church doesn't have boys, the church doesn't have girls. The church is big. Go for youth camps. Go for youth programs where we have big programs where you can meet. Go for GC sessions. You meet somebody there. You meet somebody. Go to those big congregations. Go to youth. You, how can you meet your the one that is meant for you when you are asked to go for a youth program just here near you in Johannesburg and you say you're not going? Just here in Zimbabwe next to you, you say you're not going. I prefer being alone. I'm an introvert. Yes, I understand you're an introvert. But when there is a program that benefits you, and yes, you are looking for a relationship. Don't pretend like you're not looking for one. Go there and make sure that you are there in the open where you can find somebody. Don't hide yourself and think somebody is going to come and fish you out of that hole. You need to be there, out there, and be able to go to that person that shares the same doctrines with you, that agrees with you in terms of the Sabbath, that agrees with you even in terms of your mission. When you bring somebody who doesn't have the same beliefs with you, and you say, my child has to go for Pathfinders, they don't understand that. Actually, Amos 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together unless they what?
Agreed.
They agree. How come you only agree with the pre-Adventists? How come you only agree with people who don't share the same faith with you? We need to have the God's will being the one that we what? We value.
Just wrap and also, up that one. Okay.
I wanted to cancel on inner peace. For you to have inner peace and to be safe, you need somebody who shares your belief with you. And do not be in a hurry. True love is not a strong, fair, impetuous passion. You need to be stable. You need somebody and you need a genuine person. Don't be in a hurry.
Mm.
Don't rush. Don't rush. Why are you in a rush?
Are you saying age is nothing but a number? So Because, you know, there's so much content, Muruti, where people will, I don't know if you've seen this content, I'm assuming you haven't, where people really are trashing each other. There's a serious gender war, and people will say something like, women expire at 30 years old. So I think that's one of the reasons why people rush so much. It's this thing of age, you're chasing this age that a lot of people, I don't know, seem to take seriously in their minds. Jorge, if you are 28, that's it. It's chai, hey?
Yeah, for somebody, they'll say that. But, well, I don't want, maybe firstly, I need to answer and clear something there. If it's true love, it waits. It doesn't demean. Age is just, yes, it's just a number, like what the people say. but I want you to know that don't be pressured, don't be pushed. Be solid, trusting in the Lord and trusting in God's timing. I'm speaking to some who are 30 plus, who are on their ages of the late 20s. Don't be pushed by people into having even children. I've heard some say, "Ah, Pastor, all I want now is just to have a child. I don't care about much because I've been waiting patiently for a marriage and the marriage is not coming." Yes, if it's not coming, it's not the right time. I want you to draw your attention to Abraham and Sarah. We read that story, the story of faith. Even when they were supposed to have a child, they even had a makeshift there, the Hagar, having a child for Abraham. But the Lord said, "No, this is not the one. This is not the child of the promise. The child of the promise will not come from anywhere else except from your wife." So speaking to those young people who are now discouraged, I know some of them no longer even enjoy going to the youth. They now just say, "Okay, these youth are now for these young people." I want you to be reminded, you are still a youth. Enjoy that space. Don't feel retired. Don't retire. It's not yet that time. At God's time, everything will happen. At God's time, Abraham and Sarah, at a time that was not accepted by people, that was not even expected by community, Abraham and Sarah had a child. And I want you to know that at the right time, don't worry, you have a boyfriend who will marry you no matter your age. At the right time, you have a girlfriend whom you will marry no matter your age, because it's not your time. Marriage is not your invention. It's God's invention. So you need to wait not on your girl or on your boy. You need to wait on God. Don't do things. Don't compromise. Wait on the right time and wait on God.
Oh, I really appreciate this, Muruti. I think you're speaking very well. I just wanted to go back quickly, and I know we have run out of time. Shuti, I'm going to invite you back now for a part two. But Muruti, when you spoke about being unequally yoked, we touched a lot on the spiritual aspects, the religious. Is that the only thing that we look at as the yoking, or are there other factors that we need to also consider?
Yes, there's a lot we need to consider. Like I said, there are also wolves in sheep clothing in our church. That's why it requires for us to really pray even more. Even when Christ was speaking about the church, even now as we look forward to Christ's second coming, we're now at the age where purity, even in the church, there are young people who are not pure in the church. They are there in the church there. So unequal yoking, you could actually get an Adventist or somebody from your church who doesn't share. You see them every day on Sabbath. They are there in the church. But do you know some of them don't share the same beliefs as you? Mm. So for you to see that, you need the discernment that comes from the Lord. And I want you to know that the discernment that comes from the Lord would only come from the Lord. Then also you need counsel from the adults in your church. I know you come into the city and all of a sudden you see this beautiful girl, or you see this handsome guy, and already you want to get married to him. How much of him do you know? How much you just know him from church and you see him only on Sabbaths once in just a few hours from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock for some churches that don't do an afternoon service. And you are done. You are okay with him. And already you are okay with her. How much of him, how much of her do you know? There are people that know that person. That person did not start in your church. That person did not grow up in your church. Go and find out who is this person really. Before you get married, it doesn't cost you much right now before you get married to do an introspection, to say, who is he from? Where is he from? Where did he grow up? Go into those spaces. Make friends in those spaces. Ask about your guy. Ask about your girl. Is this the right? Because what you're looking at, you are not looking at the here and now. You are looking at a long time that is called a lifetime, living with the person. How do you honestly go into a church after meeting for 6 months just in church and already you want to go and say, I declare that I'm going to do life with this person till death do us apart? Do you know this person? So besides loving the person, that's why love is patient. Love is not in a hurry. He's not in a hurry to take down your dress or to take down his pants. You are not in a hurry. You want to study this person to a point that you say, I can dedicate my life to this person because I thoroughly know him. I'm not loving him with feelings. I'm loving him even with my mind.
I studied him. I did a dig. That's why it's called courtship. I'm taking him to court. I want to use evidence to say, do the evidence that I have, is the evidence enough that I...
So if the evidence is not good enough, why are you marrying him? Why are you in a rush? Nowadays, Millie, the funny thing is people are dating 3 months and they are already introducing each other to their relatives and they are already ready to marry. They are putting rings on fingers. Do you know that person? So in the church, you need to be thorough. It's actually good for you to narrow down your circle to say, I'm going to marry in church. That's a very good one. Because now you're going to search in the church, which church has he been to? You go there, you make friends there, you ask what kind of a person, even without him. Yes, you need to know this person because you cannot sign your life away to a stranger. That's why strange things are happening in relationship. And that's why strange things are happening in marriage. Because you don't know the school that he went to. Yes, he said he went to this particular school. Did he really go to that school? What was he doing in that school? Do you know? Why would you take him at his word? Why would you take her at her word? Obviously, if I want you, if I want to marry you, I'll definitely hide that side of me. But in our language, I'm Shona, we have a word that we use. We say Rinamanyangari Putiri, which means something that has got horns, you cannot cover it. Because one day, something that's got horns, the horns will poke out, will come out. So over time, the horns will what? Will come out. This guy is abusive. This guy had children somewhere. This woman had abortions. This woman lived a life like this. She was a common person in there. She never really transformed. I'm not against people that transform, but I'm saying you need to dig and accept whoever this person is. Even the things that he tells you, yes, he has told me. Is it true? I need to be sure. Then when I'm sure, there's nothing that will just poke out later on in the marriage. Ah, this is who I've always been. Ah, this is who I've always been. But now, you have already signed on the dotted line. You can't go back and say, I no longer want to be in this marriage. And yes, eventually some will decide, I want to be out of the marriage when you have been in a relationship that you didn't really know and understand. So understand the person, even in church. But above it all, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord in prayer. Young people are not praying, but they are in relationship, Millicent. And it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Very dangerous. And if I date somebody and say you are dating somebody and you are in a relationship, and then you call them and you say, how has been your day? Can we pray? They'll say, oh, where did I get this kind of a guy? who say, let's pray. But you're in church, and this guy you are dating is a church person, and you are not expecting prayer in your relationship. If your relationship doesn't have prayer already, that's a very red flag. It's very dark enough for you to see that this relationship is not going to do me any good, because you are needing a priest in your marriage. And a priest must say, let's pray. A priest must say, let's study the word. A priest on your date, on one of your dates, must say, let's pray. A priest in your space must say, let's study the word. Similarly, your girl must also be that kind of a woman who wants to pray, who also wants to study the word. Why are you rushing in the lodges? Why are you rushing elsewhere? And nothing, there's no prayer, and that's not a red flag for you. Why do you want to marry that person? Because of only that. That is only lust and not love.
Muruti. Yeah, I do love your responses because they're very extensive, and I really appreciate that. I really, really appreciate that because the issue of being unequally yoked, I think, is a big one. And, you know, nowadays you look at some of the fights that are taking place or reasons that people maybe give for breaking up, and you look at issues of maybe education, issues of finances. I don't know, in a patriarchal system, I believe that the man would have more money than the woman. The man would probably be more educated than the woman. In a patriarchal system, basically, it's like the man is better than the woman in everything kind of thing. But we live in a world that's more complex now. So are those things that should actually also matter? Yes, you are in the church. Okay, we said we must start in the church. But should these other things, talifati, matter? Or it's if you are in the church, as long as you are in the church. Muruti?
Hello, hello. I missed you there. I don't know what happened to my network.
But if you heard me, you can respond, right?
I think you were speaking about whether the patriarchal system and the latest systems where women are working. Is that so?
Not just working, but like the disparities from finances to assets to education. Should those things factor in as part of?
Oh, as an equal yoking.
Yebo.
Yes, you need, there are two scenarios to this. An equal yoking can also apply there. You marry somebody, I'm sure for most of the people, young people who have been involved in relationship, the disparities, those disparities need to be respected. It's advisable not to also go into a class that will make you very, 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 very uncomfortable, because you go in there already on the low side. But at the same time, as you pray to God and as you worship God, you notice that there are people who are rich or who are good, who have got certain financial or socioeconomic benefits that they have, who also have God's principles of humility and all, who are able to treat you right and accept you. So that's why the guiding principle that I spoke about in that particular in issues of relationships and deciding to get married as a young person, you need to be a prayerful person, that even God can make you identify the Boaz in your space who will treat you like a queen, irrespective of the disparities that exist. Yet at the same time, even though there are Boazes in our spaces, if you are not going to find the one who's really rooted in God, they will not treat you well. So that's why it's more on the safer side to stay in your land and find people who are not so different in terms of your life standards. And because what you thought was okay in your life, especially for men, getting a girl from a bit of a higher class, you would find out that it would be an uphill climb almost on every day. You have stress at 2 years in your marriage, or 1 year you have high blood pressure, not because there's anything wrong, but you have just this pressure that comes from this girl is not used to this life that you came from, and you cannot offer that life, and you need to consistently work on measuring up. But what I'm saying is, yet at the same time, there are those that are so high there, but are able to have that humility and patience that comes with love, that helps you to say, okay, I understand where my guy is coming from. I understand where my girl is coming from, and able to work with them nicely. But what should be the basic component that must matter mostly is your spirituality. Are you on the same spiritual level? And when your spiritual levels are on the same level, the world can submit to your spirituality, because God, Jesus Christ, the love of God, would define how you need to deal with somebody who's coming from a level where they didn't have money, or where there are different economies of scales.
I hear you indeed. Murudi, I'm going to take a little bit of your time, if that's okay. Is that okay with you?
What time, how much do you want to take?
Can I take 20 minutes of your time? And not 20, I mean 10.
It's okay.
Thank you very much. Murudi. I don't remember the statistics, but I was listening to someone else speaking about how there are more women in the church, the Christian church generally, than there are men. And so someone might say, what do we do since the numbers don't balance? I don't know if it goes back to the idea that maybe some people, it's important to make peace with the fact that, ladies, you are many, but not all of you will get married because the men in the church are actually few.
Okay. I don't know how truthful those statistics are, mm-hmm. but like what I was saying, which church are you talking about? Which district are you talking about? The church is big.
Okay.
The church is so big, you cannot rely on information from only your area.
Okay.
Which is why it's important to say, I'll give you an example. If you have a skill, you're very skilled, you're very good, you're trained, but you hide wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
You are not. No one is going to find you, and no one is going to utilize that skill. So I'm saying, you are a pretty girl. You are very principled. You're a good guy. You're principled, and all. You're looking for a godly woman. You're looking for a godly man, and the statistics cannot defy the what God wants to do for you. Okay. At the same time, yes, I understand there is that gift of Paul that he speaks about. Of singleness. Yes, there are people like that who would be alone for life, and even themselves, they've said, this is my decision. But mm-hmm. what I would want to speak about is, as different as that could be, there, not every woman is supposed to be alone, because also you'd also find that same argument coming out from men to say, there are no women in the church. Yet women are saying there are no men in the church. So that's why I said the first question was, which church are you talking about? Because the church is big. Have you been to Kenya? Have you been, when there was a program for youth that was in Zimbabwe, were you there? Why are you not saving up and prioritizing finding a godly man, finding a godly woman? And why not prioritizing finding those spaces where you are out there, where you actually meet the right person? You cannot be found while you are hiding. So at the end of it all, you might actually say, there are many women. The other thing that Villicent, we also find is that women who are not able to reduce their standards to change their ideals, their dreams, and all. I'm not saying go very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying there are things that you can analyze on your list of of things that you expect in a guy. You can never find a perfect guy. You can never find a perfect woman. Sin messed us all up.
Okay.
And so we need to think from that perspective to know that we're not going to find everything being perfect. Some reasons, do you know why people are not married? Some of them is because when they want everything being so, so perfect. And when they come into this imperfect world, no one is perfect. Even yourself looking for a perfect person, you are not perfect, but you're looking for an angel. You are looking for her to be pretty and everything and also have a good character. You're not going to find it. If you're going to find being pretty, maybe the character is going to be flawed. Maybe you're going to find him being very rich and everything, but the character is going to be flawed. Maybe he's going to be a womanizer. Maybe he's going to be... Because women want a rich guy. So there are things you need to drop off from your list to say, these I need to come to peace with it. To say, for me to be married, for me to get married, I need to tear down these particular walls. The high walls that I had built for myself. If he is not like this, I'm not taking him. If she's not like this, I'm not taking her. We pull down those walls as quickly as possible. And be accessible. There are women who think they are many. They've been there in the market. They are beautiful and everything. But they're just not accessible. You come to church, they're not accessible. They are there, but not accessible. You greet her, she will give you one-word answers. She can't speak to you. She's always surrounded. She's never in a place where you can find her. If you are in that space where you want to get married, there are times where you need to be friendly and smile and talk to people and sit closer to where they... How do you sit with girls only and you want to get married to a guy? How does that work out? You end up thinking that women are more because you're always with women. So there are things that you need to... You need to know which state and level of your expectations, where you are exactly. You want to get married, that's your expectation. What do you need to do to get married? I'm not saying be loose, be out there, be too overly available, but don't raise your walls too high. Your walls too high. There's so many pretty girls who can't get married because of that particular factor. And the problem in our system, I know you know the system, is where the boys or the men approach the girls. It's very rare where women approach the men. So because of that particular system that we live in, don't hide yourself. You come to church with your mother and your dad. You're sitting between your mother and your dad. You're always with them. When you come out, you in there, in the car, out you go. And you say in the church, we are more women than men. No. Put yourself in a space where you are accessible and accessible by the right kind of people. You know the kind of guy you are aiming for in your life. Don't be too far. He's always sitting that side. You're always sitting on the other end. How do you position yourself? I'm not saying that overly position, but you position yourself nicely. That he asks for your number. And that's the target. That's how you work your way in this process. Not that we continue saying there are many women in the church. We need to change how we relate to others.
This is very interesting. I'm not going to lie. So you're saying no one is perfect. It's true. But...
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that there isn't a perfect person for you? You know what I mean? Like, no one is perfect, yes, but is there someone who is perfect for each and every single person? Because Spirit of Prophecy also talks about how a lot of people are mated but not matched, which makes it sound like, had you done things the right way, you would have gotten the right person for you in particular.
They are. Actually, that's why Adam... when he had a perfect woman made for him, perfect to him, But he didn't. She even had her own imperfection. That's why she was the one to go get the fruit. The imperfections were there.
Yeah.
But when Adam woke up, what did he say? Wow. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh.
I'm a sin
she shall
with
be
you.
Called woman because she was taken from me. All that kind of all those lyrics came from what point? It was coming from, there are things that you obviously be attracted, that you find attractive in a person. There are characteristic traits that you find attractive in a person. Obviously, those must be more. And a few uncomfortable things, you find them also in what? In the same person that's got 8 things that you like. They will have 2 things, or they will have 6 things that you like and 4 things that you don't like. It's normal. But what is important is that we need to choose to love and grow with that person under God's protection and guidance. To say, I'm going to choose. And you know what? When God was, when even Jesus was loving us, he was loving imperfect people who had sinned. But he says, I'm going to love them anyway. I'm going to die for them. I'm going to sacrifice for them anyway. This is what God is calling us. So when we choose to get into relationships, I'm not saying that love for 4 things only in a person and hate 6 things, that thing is not going to last. I have a lot of things that you can write in a book. Go in your room, write in your book alone. I like the fact that she comes early for Sabbath school. No, I know that this is not what you like in a girl. Maybe you like the complexion, you like how she looks, you like the smile, you like the look on the eyes, you like. But you also need to look at the spiritual things that you like about the person. Like the physical, write physical at the top, write spiritual things. Write your strengths, write your weaknesses, and be realistic. And also find out from others. When you bring her, especially when you eventually bring her to your family, ask them also, what are the weaknesses you find in my girl? Write them down, add them to the list. Those are the weaknesses that are seen by people who are not infatuated, who are not head over heels. Ask your members, church members, what do you like about? And ask genuine friends who tell you your girl is good, but she's got 5 of these weaknesses. When she sees any guy, she looks straight in through the eye. She locks eyes. She smiles at every guy. This girl will give you problem with other men. Know it in advance and write it down. And weigh her strengths and her weaknesses. Weigh his strengths and his weaknesses. And decide. You mustn't be blind in love, because love can blind, especially the feelings in love can blind. So you need to weigh those things realistically and make a decision.
Choose your struggle, basically.
Yes, choose your better struggle. Okay, if she's just like this, but she's like this on the side, at least I can take this and wait out. That when you get into a marriage, you're not going to find out those things and say, and she'll say, but I've always been like this. He'll say, I've always been like this. Don't get into a relationship and make it mature with a person that will surprise you on every turn. No, don't be surprised. Open your eyes. Don't use your heart. Use your mind, use your eyes, use others who are not in love with your girl, who are not in love with your boy. Let them tell you the truth. Don't hide from the truth. You know, so many have fallen into traps because even their parents told them on the first day that your girl, there's something off about your girl. No, my parents, you don't love my girl. Oh, you don't love my boy. That's not how you must approach this thing. Listen carefully. What are they saying? Oh, mama, you said you don't like her. What do you see in her? Oh, Sunny. When I was growing up, I saw girls like this. They were like this, like this, like this. Girl will give you problems. If people who actually love you are those people. They're genuine. They're not going to mince their words. They're telling you what is good for you. Don't look down upon that advice. Take it seriously. Because when you get fried, you'll be fried all by yourself.
You make me laugh.
And they will tell you, Mm-hmm. They'll tell you, we told you so.
And they did.
We told you so, son. We saw it coming and you refused.
Oh, my man, you don't listen.
So this one thing that needs to change in us. Yes, you love her with your heart, but your parents have seen something wrong. The community has seen something wrong. She has been through some other guys. Maybe she had some instances that you need to know. Please, listen. Don't think with your heart. Think with your mind. The mind is supposed to continue working even in your relationship. As a boy or as a girl, your mind must never stop working. See messages that are weird in your phone, in his phone. I don't know how much you're doing in his phone, but well, you saw them. Think. He gets weird calls where he wants to go on the side and speak alone. Think. Start thinking. These are not surprises that you have found in your marriage or in your relationship as it was maturing. Don't get into a marriage. Why are you submitting to a marriage or to even going to be introduced where you are introduced and you are going forward with it as if you are a blind man? No. Open your eyes, love her with your heart, but also open your mind and your eyes. See and think.
You make good points. Next time, I would like us to talk about those standards that you say. Sometimes they're too high, drop them a bit. I think we need practical scenarios of when it's appropriate to drop standards. Like, what are we dropping? Because people will misunderstand and they'll go drop things that they can't live without, you know. So I think that will be an important one to consider. What are standards? What do we mean when we say they shouldn't be too high? What does that mean? You know, because you might think that we're not the same. Muruti, there are things you can accept that another man won't be able to accept. There are things that, you know, I can accept another woman won't be able to accept. So we need to also have an honest conversation. When we talk about standards, do know yourself first and foremost. Sorry, but when you can't live with this thing, you know, you won't be able to survive. You are headed for divorce if you do this. But otherwise, I think I'm happy with the conversation that we just had. Actually, thank you so much for this. Yeah.
I thought before we close, there are some who love God,
yes,
but have no attraction to anything at all.
Okay.
And maybe this might be bruised by this conversation. This is a real sensitive reality that people live with. And to answer this, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, at some point, Paul spoke about it as a gift to say, I have a gift of celibacy, just living alone. There are people who actually are like that.
Mm-hmm.
So people who are not called for marriage, don't stress yourself. Don't worry yourself about it. If you feel like you have this gift, I've never found one though in Zimbabwe who says I have that gift of celibacy. But there are some who say they actually have no single interest. The doctors have tried. Everyone had tried, and the parents have tried, and they've proven beyond reasonable doubt that this person is not inclined towards taking a girl. What? She's just off. So, with such people, the Bible actually speaks about it, and Paul says, with this gift, it's actually an advantage. And the advantages that you find in that particular gift is that you can actually be very useful even as an individual who stays alone, doing the work of God, and you can actually be more effective in a lot of areas of life without really considering to be like everyone, being like everyone. You are unique as you are, and God loves you the way you are, and you need to love yourself the way you are, and you need to understand your situation. People may not understand your situation, but God actually does understand your situation. And he loves you just the way you are.
100%. 100%. He is Pastor Chambe coming through to us on AWR, a pastor who has definitely gone through the crucible of teaching and learning about marriage, and we got free counseling today. So Muruti, thank you so much for allowing God to expand your territory beyond Zim and for coming to share everything that you have learned. I really, and we all appreciate this wisdom that we got from you today. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you too. Thank you for your time. Thank you, listeners. May God bless you too.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.